You're probably wondering what to expect. I don't know. The Holy Spirit's here, and we never know what to expect when the Holy Spirit is here. Well, let's open up in a word of prayer and ask God to continue to be with us. I'm not going to ask him to be here because he is here, so we'll ask God to continue to be here with us this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your presence, Lord, and what you've begun to do already. And we just commit the rest of this service to you. Holy Spirit, have your way, Lord. Have your way in what I say, God. Let it not be me that speaks, but let it be you and your words, Father. I pray that every person that's here this morning would be open to what you have to say, God, to receive from you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning I'm going to be talking about letting go. And we wonder, why can't we let go? And one of the reasons is we're creatures of habits. And if you look today where you're sitting, it kind of confirms that we're creatures of habits. Probably 80% of you are sitting where you normally sit. In fact, sometimes when I pray for the church, I don't have a list, but in my mind, I go through the pews, and that's how I pray. It's like, okay, this is the first pew, and that's how I pray, is because usually you all sit in the same seats. And in school, you know, if you're a student, you tend to sit in the same place. Remember one time we went for a open house, and one of the teachers noticed, wow, it's kind of funny, you tend to sit where your students sit, and parents tended to sit where the children sat, and that was kind of funny too. We are creatures of habits like our children are. Sometimes we're unwilling to let go of the past. That's why we can't let go. We had good memories, and we don't want to face the present. It's another reason why we're unwilling to let go. I want to talk to you about my basement. My basement is a work in progress. We've been cleaning our basement for a while now, and it was easy at first. There are things that were very easy to let go of, but now I'm kind of stuck. I've gotten rid of all the easy things. Of course, the easiest was to get rid of things that weren't mine, and now it's kind of the hard things. It's the things that I may need someday, papers, which I'm much too lazy to go through. And the sentimental things, you know, the 12-plus years of my son's school things, the 10-plus years of my daughter's artwork and school things, things that people have given me, you know, sentimental things. It's hard to let go of those things, you know, and it's the tough decisions. So basically that's what's left in my basement now. It's the hard things, the things I can't really let go of. I know I need to make the decisions about those, and I need to have Val come over and go through them for me. Val's like the ultra organizer. But I can't let go of them. I'm having a hard time. You know, and in Christians, there's things that we have trouble letting go of. And I want to talk about three of those things today that we might have trouble letting go of as Christians. And the first one is ministry. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." Sometimes in our life as a Christian, a door shuts on our ministry. Sometimes God closes the door. Sometimes a person will close the door to your ministry. Sometimes circumstances closes the door. The how doesn't really matter. And the first part of Psalm 31:15, David says, "My times are in your hands." And there are times when that door shuts that we mourn that ministry and we can't really move on. We think about that ministry and we mourn it and we're just stuck there. We can't move on past that. We just think about that and we can't let it go. We don't want to move on. We really enjoyed what we were doing in that ministry and we just can't move on past that. We just mourn it. And God has a hard time pushing us past that place because we won't let it go. For others, when a ministry we've been involved in ends, we say, okay, what now? And we're just kind of waiting. We've all been in the doctor's office in the waiting room. Everybody like that experience? The first 5 minutes, we're okay. 10 minutes, start getting a little upset. 30 minutes, forget it. That's it. You know, we're a basket case. It's the same time it's in God's waiting room. Everybody been in God's waiting room before? Yeah. There are periods in our ministry when we are in God's waiting room. It seems like there's nothing happening. We are not in an active ministry. And we're wondering, when are you going to use me again, God? When are you going to open a door for that new ministry? And we decide how long it's okay to wait. We put that time structure on. You know, it might be okay for a month to be without a ministry, or 2 months. But sometimes when it starts to drag on, we get very impatient with God. And we said, I've waited long enough, God. It's too long. And we tell God how long it's okay to wait. And we get upset with God. We are in our own timing, not God's timing. We think that we're in the doctor's office and we can go up to a receptionist and say, hey, my appointment was for 9:30. It's 9:45. What's going on? And we do that with God. We say, God, I've been waiting for 2 months for you to open a new door for me. That's long enough. But God doesn't work on our time. God works on His time. And we forget that. You know, or it could be that your ministry doesn't change, but maybe the venue has changed. We're still doing the same thing, but God wants us to do it somewhere else or in another way. And we haven't thought about that before. Instead of teaching adult Sunday school, maybe God's asking you to lead a Bible study of new believers. Or you've always liked to serve people and see their needs, and now God's opening a door to help you reach out into the community to minister to the needy in our area. Sometimes God changes how we minister, but doesn't exactly change the way we minister. So to minister means literally to attend to the needs and wants of others. So what that really means is, ministry isn't for us or about us. It's like what Jeremiah said this morning. Ministry isn't for us or about us. It's about God and others. And we forget that. We think our ministry is about us and it's about what we do. But it's really not. It's for God and to others. We need to realize that our identity as a Christian isn't our ministry. Our identity and our self-worth is in Jesus Christ. And we forget that. When a door closes on our ministry, we feel that personally. We take that personally and we think that something about ourselves is lost. And that's not true. Ministry is just an outlet of how God uses us. It has nothing to do with who we are or what we are in Jesus Christ. Our ministry is just something about us. Our identity is in Jesus Christ, not our ministry. We're to serve Him any way and any time He asks. We are servants. So sometimes we have trouble letting go of ministry. Another area that Christians have trouble letting go of, and this might surprise you because you're all good Christians, but it's sin. When I cleaned my basement, some things were easy to let go of, and I had no problem with, as I said. And when we became a Christian, many of our sinful behaviors ended right away. Some things we had no trouble with. When we became a Christian, those things just dropped right off us. Sinful behaviors just ended, and they went right away. But, you know, Christ came in, and he did a new work in us. The hard part about being a person, being a human, is that we have free will. And some things, you know, we have a say in what we're willing to get rid of. That's the problem in my basement. I have a say about what goes. If my husband went down there, there'd be a lot more that would be gone than what's gone right now. He just goes down and just throws. But I have a say in what goes. So unfortunately, some sins we cling to, when we just hang on to them. Hebrews 12:1 tells us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The writer of Hebrews tells us to get rid of sin. Why does it tell us to get rid of sin? What does it say that sin does? It entangles us. Keeps us from moving forward. Can't run the race. And, you know, God hasn't changed. He still hates sin. There's nowhere in the New Testament that says that God's okay with sin now. He likes sin. He still hates it. So why do we still do it? You know, we've become a Christian. Do we think that sin's okay now? It's not okay. God hasn't changed. But we still do it. One reason is we're comfortable with it. It's like an ugly old sweatshirt or a pair of pajamas that we have. You know, we forget how truly awful they look because they're just so comfortable. But if somebody walked in and saw them, we would be really embarrassed. We'd say, ah, what are you doing with those things? But, you know, we forget how truly awful our sin is in the eyes of God because we live with it and we see it every day. You know, it's like that ugly sweatshirt. You know, we're just so used to it. But if somebody else saw it, they'd be appalled. And it's like our sin. If we truly saw it again as God sees it, we would be appalled at how God views it. But we're just so comfortable with that sin that we kind of forget just how awful it is. We're used to it because we live with it every day. It's just part of us. Make excuses for it. Another reason is because we're lazy. You know, it's hard to get rid of those deep ingrained sins. It takes a lot of work, a lot of perseverance. You got to stay on top of those things. And we don't like to. There's nature shows on TV, and everybody in my family laughs at me because I have a new favorite one. It's called Too Cute. It's about little puppies and little kittens. So I watch that one. They all laugh at me. It's true. But there's one kind of nature show that I really dislike to watch, and it's one especially like with lions or tigers, and it's because they always show, it's always the where they're at the river, and there's the poor little gazelle there that's stayed too long drinking, or they have the pack of zebras running, and then there's the one little guy that's running behind, and then they zoom in on the tiger or the lion, and they show him zooming in on the little gazelle that's still drinking or the little zebra that's running behind. And you know what's going to happen. And I'm like, run, run, run. And you know what happens. I don't have to tell you the rest of the story. And there's something about in the Bible about that too. And when you read that scripture, it's in 1 Peter 5:8. I want you to think about this. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When you are lazy, you're like that little gazelle still drinking at the river. You're not lifting up your head and looking around. And guess who's zooming in on you? Satan is zooming in on you because you have sin. And when you have sin, there is a wall that is separating you from God. So you're not where you should be. So you're just out there for the devil, ready to pounce on you. You've left an area in your life that's open. And that devil's looking at you. You're just like, you're in the back of the pack, just kind of lame, limping along. You're a prime target for Satan to come and get you. And Peter tells you that. He doesn't tell you they didn't have nature shows back then, but they had lions back then, and that's what Peter was saying. He paints it out for you. So next time you watch those nature shows, you can think of that scripture. So when we leave sin in our lives and we let it go uncontrolled, we're leaving an open door, and we don't want to let it go. We just kind of hang on to it because we think that it's kind of harmless. We make excuses for ourselves. And a third area that we're willing to let go is our faith. Now, I want you to notice I didn't say faith, but I said our faith. Our faith can be like an old book that we've read many times. I like to read mysteries. I have Agatha Christie collections, and I've read them a bunch of times. I've seen the movies. I know how they end. It's like no big surprise at the end. Nobody changed who did it at the end. I still know who did it, and I keep reading it over and over. You know, and our faith can be like that, you know. We know it well. We've had it a long time. We know how it's going to end. We know what to expect. We come into church. We know what to expect. We know how our faith is going to kind of go. You know, my faith is my view of God. how I view God, how I've decided God is, what I'm comfortable doing. And we want to dictate the terms of our spiritual life. Then we forget who the Creator is and who the created is. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, when we start thinking that we kind of know God and that we can figure God out, I think we're in big trouble. And who wants a God that they can figure out? That'd be pretty sad. If I thought I was as smart as God, that'd be a pretty dumb God. I wouldn't want to serve that kind of God. So what is real faith then? Hebrews 11:1 tells us, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." So in a sentence, faith is believing without seeing. If our faith is only what we're comfortable with, it isn't growing, it isn't stretching, it isn't seeking. We need to be more like Peter, and we need to step out the boat of our comfort faith and into the unknown, where Jesus is. Jesus wasn't in the boat. Jesus was out of the boat. And Peter stepped out. He was in a new place. Do you ever hear people say that church is boring or Christianity is boring? Have you ever thought it? Maybe you've even thought it. If you read the Bible, God certainly is not boring. And if you read the Gospels, you see Jesus is interesting, Jesus is compelling, Jesus is loving. He's anything but boring, especially when you read about him taking on the Pharisees, the Sadducees, different people in the New Testament. He's anything but boring. So if you're bored, then where's the disconnect? If it's not Jesus, then, oh, it must be me. So if we're willing to let go of our faith and ask Jesus to take over, then we should expect to see a difference in our spiritual journey, right? Jesus was pretty radical in his day. And it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we should expect to see something different. So how do we let go? Well, to let go of sin, I'm going to put it straight to you, we need to grow up. When kids are little and something gets broken, you ask, "Who did this?" What's the answer? "I don't know." Or in our house, something falls over. "What's going on?" "Nothing." We had a lot of nothings going on in our house. You know, kids don't take responsibility for their actions. As an adult, that's a sign of somebody maturing. They start taking responsibility for their actions. So when we let go of sin, we start taking responsibility like adults for our actions. 1 Corinthians 13:11. "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." We need to get rid of sin so we can run the race with everyone else and not get entangled and left behind. Remember that vision of the little gazelle or the little zebra? You don't get rid of sin, Satan is going to get you. You know, the first part of that, if you read in Hebrews, it says, you know, there's a great cloud of witnesses looking down. You know, they're in heaven. They're saying, "Hey, Raylene, look, Satan's looking at you. He's going to get you. Hurry up. Get out of there." You know, like the way I kind of root for that little guy when I'm watching the thing. They're rooting for you. They're telling you, "Hey, get rid of that sin." You know, that's what the Bible's telling us. That's what Jesus is telling us. You have to get rid of that sin. If you do not get rid of that sin, it is going to entangle you. It will catch up with you, and you will fall. It's guaranteed. We cannot keep sin in our life and expect that we're going to go anywhere in our walk with Jesus Christ. And you can't keep making excuses for ourselves, saying, "Well, you know, everybody in my family, Lord, has a temper, and you know that's just the way I am. There's nothing I can do about it." You're a new creation. It's just that you don't want to do anything about it. The time has come that we have to stop making excuses for ourselves. It does take diligence. You know, if I really decided I wanted to get down there and go through those papers in my basement, I need to get down there and do that and clean that up. But I'm just lazy and I don't want to do it because I know it's going to be a lot of work. It's the same way with staying on top of sin. Every day I have to get up and I have to take control over that sin in my life with the Spirit's help. I can't just let it slide for a couple days and think that everything's going to be okay. You have to stay on top of it every single day or it's going to catch up to you. We have to let go of saying, well, it'll just take care of itself. Letting go of sin takes responsibility on our part. We have to step up and be adults about it and take care of it. We have to stay on top of it every single day. With faith and ministry, as far as letting go, we need to move on. The unknown can be scary, but we need to remember who is in control of our lives. Isaiah 30:18 says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." This is a loving God. This is a God that longs to do good things in your life if you let him. You know, if we keep holding on to the past and holding on to just a mediocre faith, and holding on to old thoughts of ministry, we're not going to move forward into what God has for us. God has so much. He's such a big God, and he has such great things for us. But we need to let go and move forward into what God has for us. We can't keep living in the past. We need to move forward. God is always going forward. God is not a God of the past. God is a God of the now and the future. And we need to be with him and go ahead with him into what he wants to do. And if we are holding on to things, if I'm holding on to this, my hand is closed. But if I let it go, our hands are open and we're ready to reach out to God into things that he has for us and to receive for him. If you're holding on, you cannot move forward and reach out to receive what God has for you. Whatever you're holding on to is no match for what God desires for you. So let go. I want to say let go and let God. But really, that was kind of good. You know, whoever made that little magnet, you know, in the 70s or the 60s, whenever that. Henry, when did that come out? But it's true. We need to go ahead. We need to let go. I mean, everybody, I think, desires to move ahead in God. But it takes some effort on our part. You know, I keep saying, I want that basement clean. I'm so tired of that basement. Well, whose fault is that? It's my fault. I need to get down there and do something about it. If I want to move ahead in my Christian walk, Jesus is saying, well, come on, Raylene. He's ready and he's waiting. But it's up to me to make those steps happen to move ahead in Jesus Christ. So Caitlin, if you would come up, the music team, if you would come up, I'd like you to just close your eyes. Caitlin is going to share a song. But I would just like to ask you to search your heart and just ask, is there anything that you're holding on to that's keeping you from moving ahead in Jesus Christ? Are there things that you have? Are you holding on to a past ministry that you can't let go of? Is there sin that it's just, you kind of given up on getting rid of because it's just too hard? Or you're just kind of lazy or you've gotten used to it? Are you comfortable with your faith and you just don't want to let go and move forward? You're afraid. Or you're just comfortable where you're at. It's easier just to stay where you are than to get out of the boat and go with Jesus. So as Caitlin shares, I want you to think about those things and ask God. Just be open to whatever the Holy Spirit would speak to you this morning. Thank you.